Okay, Rabosei, today's daf is Shabbos, daf Nun Beis. We are holding at the top of Nun Beis. We had just started the fifth parak in Shabbos. We're talking about whether an animal can go out with certain, not decorative, but let's say restraints, a rein, you know, reins around its face, a bit, a nose ring, because animals are not allowed to do malacha for people on Shabbos. And the question is, if they're going to go out with, you know, the duhotzah, with an item that's you know, a masa that's considered to be a burden, you know, obviously a donkey, you know, can't go out with a, you know, a pack on its back, but any animal wearing anything similarly unnecessary for that animal is also considered hotzah. So the question is simply, what is unnecessary and what is allowed? And we're going right through with that. Tana de Bei Menasya. We are four lines down. Let's say you have a goat and you kind of carved out a little bit of an area between its horns. Obviously, you didn't hurt the animal, but you kind of did some sort of carving in its horns. Yotza be'asper b'Shabbos can go out with the reins on Shabbos. The pshat is that basically you made sure that it wouldn't fall out. Right? We're concerned that it may fall out, Right, Rashi says it because it's a smaller animal, so the reins are made for a bigger animal, and you may end up carrying it. If it falls off the animal, you may end up carrying it. Dalad amos b'shus around them. By Rav Yosef asks, Tachavla b'ziknasa mahu. Right, and if you carved out a space between its horns, then it's gonna be fastened a little bit better. Let's say you kind of carved out a place in its beard. Let's say you kind of tied the reins to its beard. Kevin di menatach le koyevla, and therefore lo asir lentucha. If the goat kind of like gets itself free, right? You tied it between its beard. It's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt a lot, so therefore it's not gonna end up, ripping or shaking its head, so that the reins will come off. Oh, Dilmar, maybe zimnim derafe v'nafil. Maybe sometimes the reins are big, it'll be loosened and it'll fall off. And v'yasi l'suy daladamus v'rishus rabim, you'll end up carrying it daladamus and v'rishus rabim. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says teku. We will resolve it in the future. Can't do that right now. Okay, Tanan Hasim. We learned in the Mishnah. V'lo b'ritzua shebein karneha. You're not allowed to go. Which animal is that? You're not allowed to go out with straps around its horns. Right. Rashi says in the end of the parak, it's about a cow. Nachon, it's about a cow that has a ritzua, a strap between its horns. So Amar Rabbi Irmiya Bar Abba Pligi Ba Rav Shmuel. So it's machlokes between Rav and Shmuel in terms of what's going on here in this Mishnah. Chad Omar Bein Lenoy Bein Leshamer Aser. One of them says, regardless of whether it's for beauty, right, or if you know, it's, whether it's a decoration, whether it's a type of jewelry or something on the cow, or whether it's Leshamer, or whether it's to be able to control the animal, to watch over the animal, regardless of the purpose of the strap between its horns, it is Aser. Meaning a cow is not an animal that's running away from you. Right? You don't need to, it's considered an excessive use of restraint, and Lamaisa, you know, putting in it's something that the cow does not need to be wearing, and therefore it's aser. Nechadam or lenoy aser, and one of them says that if it's for noy, if it's for beauty, if it's for decoration, then it's aser. But l'shamer, but if you're really using this item to watch over the cow, so then it is mutter. So Amar Rav Yosef, again, that's the klal in general, that if you're allowed to, you know, you're able to control the cow with the item that it's wearing, so then it's mutter. The only question is if it's too much, if you go above and beyond, the regular normal way of watching over this animal is that motors. But either way, over here you have Machogas, Rav and Shmuel. Amar Rav Yosef Tistayim the Shmuel who the Amar Lenoy Aser the Shamar Motor. It makes sense. The Shmuel is the one who says that if it's for Shmira, then it is Motor. Damar Rav Huna Bar Chiyamar Shmuel Al Chachananya. Right? Shmuel was the one who said at the end of yesterday's daf, right, a couple lines up, the Halacha is like Chananya, that says that if you put an item on the animal that is above and beyond, right? Instead of having just, let's say, a rope, a collar, you put a nose ring, which is, you know, a much more powerful way of controlling an animal. So that's still mutter, because you're doing it to control the animal. And if Shmuel holds a chananya, some stomach, even though you don't need this strap around the cow's horns, so that's going to be mutter, according to Shmuel. And Abai says, Adrab, no, it doesn't make sense. The opposite is true. Adrabah, the opposite. Tistayim, the Shmuel, the Amar, bin Levi, bin the Shamar, Aser. It makes more sense that Shmuel is the one who says that it's Aser. The Amar of Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, because Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Machlifin Lifnei Rabbi, they asked the Shaila in front of Rabbi, and we had this a couple times already, Shalzu Bazu Mao, what about if you put one type of, reins, or one type of shmira on from one animal to another? Can you put a nose ring in a cat? I don't know, obviously that's ridiculous, but does that work? What's the deal? Amar lefan of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, kach amar Abba. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi said, this is what my father said, asus v'perid v'agamal v'achamor, these are the four, sorry, I skipped a little bit, arba behemos yotzes ba'asper, ba'afser, there are four animals that allow to go out with these reins around their face, like a horse wears, asus v'perid v'agamal v'achamor, those four animals, a cow, Seus is a horse, parrot is a donkey, a mule, a gamal is a camel, and a chamor obviously is a donkey. So lav lamute gamal b'chatam does not exclude a camel with a nose ring, right? If a camel does not need a nose ring, it can go out with just the reins around its face. So if Shmuel was the one who's trying to prove and bring this shita, so apparently Shmuel holds that an extra shmira is usser. So Gemara says, you're right, same hamakame ha, right? Eliminate that. Same is to erase. So take out that opinion of Shmuel. So Gemara says, my chaz is the mesame ha, makame ha. Why did you take this one out for that one? I mean, why did you assume that the second version is correct, the second shita that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, right, it says that it's usser. Sameha, mekameha. Why don't you take out the second one because of the first one? Right? The Ashkenaz Shmuel who d'amar, because we see that Shmuel himself is the one who says the noy aser the shamer mutter, that it is mutter to watch over, to use this strap to watch over a cow, even though it's a little bit unnecessary. D'itmar, because it was said Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav bein lenoy bein the shamer aser. Right. Rav is the one who says, regardless of whether you use it for beauty or for to control the animal, so then that is aser. But Rabbi Chiya bar Avin Amar Shmuel, they said in the name of Shmuel, the noy aser the shamar mutter. So you see clearly that Shmuel is the one who holds that putting the strap around the cow's horns is mutter, and then that's the accurate who holds what in the above machlokas. Okay. Meisvei, we ask the question. Hold on, one second. Rav, again, we said before that Rav holds that if you put this strap between the cow's horns, that is usher, because he holds that doing me'al me'aver, an extra unnecessary item for the animal to wear, right? Since you could just control the cow with its, but let's say you could just control the cow with its collar, right, and a rope, hanging from its neck, to put a rope around its horns that you can grab onto and kind of direct the cow, that's already unnecessary, so therefore it's going to be usser, it's considered a masa, and you're going to be chayiv. So, Mesave, one second, let's question that. Hold on, that's not necessarily true. Kshara bala b'mosera kshera, let's say if we're talking about a paraduma, that if Baalef, the owner of the paraduma, tied a leash around its neck, or the type of Rashi says the paraduma mosera afser, this type of reins that we're talking about that goes around, say a horse or a donkey or whatever. So if you tie that around the cow's face, which is unnecessary for a cow, right? We said the four animals that usually wear those type of things is two types of donkey, mule, camel, and horse. So if you put it around a cow, which seems to be excessive, right? It's unnecessary. So kshera, the paraduma is still kosher. The halacha is that a paraduma is pasuk says asher lo ubad ba. You're not allowed to do any work with the paraduma, unless that pasuk is somewhere else. We're going to see the Gemara is going to quote the pasuk asher lo aleha ol. That you can't put you can't put a yoke on top of the paraduma. Okay, so that's the pasuk we're going to quote. But this apparently doesn't count. And if you're telling me that it's a masoi, right? If you're telling me that it's unnecessary, right? It's considered a burden that it goes out with on Shabbos, and therefore he's chayiv. So asher lo aleha ol on l'rachmana, right? Why would the paraduma still be kosher? Torah says it's not allowed to have a yoke on it, so this would seemingly be a yoke. So there are three answers. Amar Abai said, but molicha mi'irli ir. The case is where you're taking the cow, the paraduma, from one city to the next. And then it's not necessarily too much. It's not crazy to put the reins on the cow because it's a long journey and the cow needs to follow you, right? In your own ranch, the cow's not going anywhere. But when you're traveling, So then that's an appropriate shmirah for the animal. Rava Amarava says, Shani para de dameha yikarin. The paradum is different from other, you know, other animals because it's very, very valuable. Dameha, it's money. Yikarin is expensive. It's very, very valuable, so you know, make sure not to lose it. So that's not considered, you know, above and beyond. And Ravina says, "B'moredes." No, the case is simply where the cow is nuts and it's gone crazy, and you need an extra way to control it. Okay, back to the Mishnah. We said that a horse, sus bashir, we said a horse can go out with just a collar. But then the Mishnah had said that it, you know, you can go out with a collar and you can pull it with a collar. If you go back, flip back to the Mishnah, so. Sus bashir v'chol balei ashir yotzin bashir v'nim shachan bashir. You can go out with a collar, or the horse can go out with a collar, and it can be pulled with a collar. So the horse says, "My yotzin u'manim shachan." What does that mean? What does that mean? Remember, stomach. If it can go out, you can pull it. Right? That's the same thing. The whole point is that if it goes out with a normal type of item that is used to control the animal, so obviously you can pull the horse with the item that it's mutter to go out with. So Ravuna, Ravuna says, "Lo yotzin kruchin onim shachan." O yotzin kruchin, onim shachin. It can either go out with the collar. Kruch is the collar is around its neck, or nimshachin can be pulled, meaning you're allowed to pull it. Meaning either it can be wrapped around its neck, or you can pull it. Meaning regardless of whether it's loose or not. If it's loose, so then you're allowed to pull it. Or if it's wrapped around its neck tight, so then that's fine. Shmuel Amar Shmuel says, Yotzim Nimshachin, it can go out where it's being pulled, in Yotzim Kruchin, but you're not allowed to go out if it's wrapped around its neck. Meaning, according to Shmuel, that it goes together. That Yotzim, Nimshachin, what was the Lashon of the Mishnah? Sorry. Let's see here. Yotzim Bashir and Mishachim Bashir, so it should be together. Meaning that you should go out if you're pulling it. Right? Only if the leash is able to pull the animal. But if it's wrapped tightly around the animal's neck and you can't pull it, so then that's not okay. Okay, but Masnisa Tana, we learned in Ebraisa. Yotzim Kruchim Limoshech. And that's exactly how we taught it in Ebraisa. They can go out with a leash around its neck as long as it's able to be pulled. It has to be loose enough, but if it's too tight, so then that's not good. Okay, and that's considered a burden, and the animal is going out and chunking. Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, "Chazena luhu igli de bei Rav Huna. I saw these cows of Rav Huna that belong to Rav Huna. Yotzin ba'afser. I can't pronounce that. Ba'afserehen kruchen b'shavus. They went out with their reins wrapped around their necks tightly." On Shabbos, so apparently Rav Huna was mekel. He was mekel that his mutter, and he held like Shmuel. He held like Rav. Rav? Yeah. Kiyasa Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Chanina, or Rav Dimi came and said the name of Rav Chanina, Mulaos Shabbos Rebbe, Yotzos Ba'afrasein B'Shabbos. So too, the donkeys of Rebbe also went out with these kind of reins over their face on Shabbos. Hey, by the way, that's the question. Kruchen on the Imshachim, was it wrapped tight around their necks, or were they able just to be pulled by it, meaning it was looser? So Tashma, I'll bring a proof. Ki asa Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda amar Rabbi Chanina. When Rav Shmuel came to Eretz Yisrael, he said in the name of Rabbi Chanina. I guess he came to Bavel. Mulaos Shabbos Rebbe, Yotzos Ba'afrasem, Kruchen B'Shabbos. He said that Rebbe's donkeys go out with these reins wrapped around their necks on Shabbos. Kruchen. So you see that he holds that it's mutter. So Amrul Rabbanan Kameh the Rav Asi. So the Rabbanan said in front of Rav Asi, Hadar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda Lo Tzricha. No, you don't need that statement. You don't need that second statement. Midir Rav Dimi Nafka, because we can learn it from Rav Dimi. Right, that was the first statement that we had. When Rav Dimi came to, right, Kiyas Rav Dimi, he said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, the Rebbe's donkeys go out on Shabbos. It must be that he was talking about Kruchen. Right? You don't need Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda to tell me that it was talking about Kruchen. Because if you were telling me, if you would say that Rav Dimi's whole statement, the original statement that we said, was talking about Nimshachen when it was loose around their necks, so the Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. You could have learned it from Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Now Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlifan Hayu Lefnei Rabbi, Shal Zubuzu, Amar l'fanu b'shmal b'Rabbi Yosi. Kach amar Abba. Arba behemos yotzes ba'afsar. Sus apered v'gamal v'chamor. Right? We had that whole discussion that you're allowed to go out with reins on Shabbos. A donkey's allowed to go out with reins. Rebbe didn't say anything back then. So Mustama must be at least that they can go out when they are loose. So it must be that when Rav Dimi came to say something else, that yeah, Rebbe's donkeys are going out with these loose-fitting reins, with these reins on Shabbos, it must be another thing on top of that statement, and not when they're loose, they were also tied tightly. So Amar Lehu Ravasi, Ravasi said, no, Yisrich Lehu, we need both of these. Dimi de Rav Yehuda Nafka, if you're only learning from Rav Yehuda Havamina, Amar Lefanav Lo Kiblu Mina. You might have thought that they said this whole back and forth in front of Rebbe, but he didn't hold like it. Therefore, we learn that Rav Dimi, that Rebbe actually paskin that you're allowed to, that these donkeys are allowed to wear their reins when they are loose. Vidar Rav Dimi, and if you only heard from Rav Dimi, Havamina Kiani Milinim Shachem Mal Makrukim Lo. You might have thought, if you only had Rav Dimi's kind of statement, that Rebbe was referring to the reins when they're loose, but not when they're tight. So Kamash Malah, there are Shmuel Bar Yehuda that actually he was able, Rebbe held that the reins are allowed to be tight around the donkey's neck. Okay. The Mishnah then shifted to talking about Tumen Tara. We said, Mazin Alam V'Tovlim B'Mkomam. You're allowed to sprinkle water from the Paraduma on these collars on an animal, even though when it's on the animal's neck. And you're also allowed to do tefillah in the mikvah when the collar is around its neck. Obviously, you're not drowning the animal, but some way you're able to get the collar under the water without, you know, killing the animal. Obviously, that's not okay. Lemeimra de bnei kibuli tumanenu. Does that mean to imply that collars are makabel tuma? Right. Well, that's not what the Mishnah. Tabas adam tamea. The ring of a person is tamei, right? That's considered a kli, as to a fact where it's a kishut, it's something that is mekabel tuma. I mean, jewelry for a person is mekabel tuma. That's straight up in the Chumash, actually. When Bnei Yisrael came back, right, in Parshas Maaseh, when Bnei Yisrael came back from, or maybe Matos, I always forget, Matos, when they came back from the end of Bamidbar, let's do that. They came back from fighting Midian, so they brought all these items from Midian, from the spoils of war, and Moshe told them that they had to put them in a mikvah. And the stuff that they listed were all these different types of jewelry. So that's for sure true. The tabas adam tamei, that a person's ring is tamei. The tabas behema v'kelim, though, but rings for animals, and rings for you for a keli, right? Any type of let's say a collar is a ring, theoretically, or something that's attached to a pitcher with a handle could be a ring. So those types of items, v'chol shar tabaos, and any other types of rings, tahoros, they are tahor, they are not makabel tuma, right? They're not considered kelim, right? We said that a keli is makabel tuma, something that's not a kli is not makabel tuma. So those items, a collar is the important point here, a collar apparently is not makabel tuma. So what are you telling me, that you need to sprinkle paraduma stuff, you have to dip it in the mikvah? So I don't know, v'tzok nafcha b'boin minoy adam l'noy behema. No, the case is where you had a piece of jewelry that was for a person, and then you made it into a piece of jewelry for an animal, a collar for an animal, then it is makabel tuma. Rav Yosef Amar, Rav Yosef says, "Hol v'adam moshech behemes behema." Since you're going to pull, a person is going to pull the animal with the collar, so that Rashi says, "Chashiv le'kli tashmish da'adam." Then it's considered, it's not a kli of an animal, it's a kli of a person, right? A person has use from this item, therefore it's considered a kli. And it is makabel tuma. Milo Tanya, didn't we learn that a braisa makel shel behema shamateches makabel tuma? A stick that you use to hit animals, if it's metal, it's makabel tuma. Right? We said metal kelim are makabel tuma. Generally, wood kelim are not makabel tuma, but mateches is makabel tuma. That's metal. So Gemara says matam. What? Why would that be makabel tuma? Hol v'adam rode behem. Since a person kind of hits the animal with it and to guide it into a certain place, right, into the pen, into a certain direction. So therefore, it's a person's kli. So hachanami sotu here, hol v'adam moshech b'hem, since a person's going to pull the animal with it. So that's considered a kli for a person. Okay. V'tovlin b'mkoman. We said that you can do tefillah in the Mishnah that you know when the collar is around the animal's neck. The Gemara says, "Well, you got chatzitza. One second, you have a chatzitza. You have something that is in between the water and the animal. We know when you if you ever did tefillas kalim, so you need to make sure water touches every aspect and every part of the kli. How can you dip an animal, let's say, I don't know, a cat, in the mikvah, with its collar, it's tight around the animal's neck, or tight-ish around the animal's neck, and it's not going to get wet on all sides. So Rabbi Ami, Bishar Ritchon, no, the case is where you smashed it out. Now Rashi says, Hika b'patish, ad shenit pashet v'nisrachak ha'nekev saviv saviv. You loosened it out, basically. It's not so tight around the animal. The collar has been slammed with a hammer. And therefore, the water will get in everywhere, and it is therefore okay. Lema Rabbi Ami Kerav Yosef Srele. Maybe Rabbi Ami holds a Yosef. Dik Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, meaning Rabbi Yosef was the one who said that the animal collar is a kli that a person uses, right? That we had that machlokes before. That Rabbi Yitzchak said that the only kli that's makabel toma is if it used to be some sort of jewelry for a person. Rav Yosef said, no, since the collar is used by a person, it's considered a kli. So let's say that Rav Ami, right, Lema de Rav Ami Kerav Yosef Srile, that Rav Ami holds that regardless of whether it was human jewelry, it's still considered a kli. The Amar Bebayin Minoy, oh, right. Di Ki Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, because if he holds like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, the Amar Bebayin Minoy Adam L'nai Behema, that the whole Mishnah said that the only way you can be Makabel Tumah for these things if they were originally jewelry for people. So, one second. Kaven de Richtan Ave B'Maisa. If you hammer out the collar, right, you hit it with a hammer to make it wider, then you did an action to them. Then parchala tuma minayu. Then there should be no more tuma from the item. Ditzan, like we learned in the Mishnah, and this is I would give the background, but it's going to say it straight up. Kol kelim yordin liday tumasim b'machshava, dein olim tumasim ela b'shirim ma'isim. The only way you can get a kli to not be mekabel tuma anymore if you did a shinui ma'isim, if you did an action. So if you take a hammer and you slam this former piece of jewelry. And now it's much wider. You can fit around an animal. So, well, you did a physical change, a shinui maisa, an actual action to the item, and therefore it's no longer a makabel tuma. It's no longer a necklace. So it's no longer a makabel tuma. So clearly you must hold that it didn't need to be, a piece of jewelry. So the Gemara says, no, you could still hold like Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, because Savrla Karebi Huda. He holds like Rabbi Huda, the Amar Maisa Takin Lav Maisahu. That if you do a maisa, that fixes the item up. That's not considered a maisa. Meaning, if you took this piece of jewelry, this old necklace, and you hammered it so that it's wider, now it fits around an animal, so that's fixing it, in a sense, and that's not a maisa to take out its kli status and make it not tame. The Tanya, like one of the Brisa, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, Lo Amar Shinui Maisa Latake, now the Kalko. Because a Shinui Maisa is, what do you mean a Shinui Maisa to take this kli out of kli status and make it not Mekabel Toma? That's only if you destroy it or do something negative. But if you do something positive, you try to make it into a collar for an animal, so then that does not make it not makabel tuma. And the Gemara says, "B'mas nisab tani," we learned in a brisa or a Mishnah, "B'machulalin." Another answer, another way to say how you could dip this collar in the mikvah is if it has holes, is chalalim, it has holes, meaning there's a way for the water to get into the entire collar, and therefore you get it on all sides. Okay. Shal Talmud Echad Migalil HaElyon Es Rabbi Eliezer. Talmud lived up really far up north, in the upper Galilee, in the Galil. He asked Rabbi Eliezer the following question. Shamati Shecholkin Bein Tavas LaTavas. I heard there's a difference between rings. And that's it, meaning he didn't elaborate. So Amar Lo, so Rabbi Yossi said to him, Shema Lo Shamat El Linyan Shabbos. What realm of halacha are you talking about? Maybe you heard that regard to Shabbos. The Linyan Tuma, because regarding Tuma, Da v'da chadahi. All rings are the same. All rings are the same in terms of halachos tuma. Must be only in terms of halachos Shabbos. We're going to see later what's the difference between halachos Shabbos. Shirashi references that we're going to learn next parak that there's a difference between a ring with a seal and without a seal. That if it has a seal, so then that's a dindar. If it doesn't have a seal, that's a dindar abanan. It's a Mishnah in the sixth parak. So that's the difference between, and we'll talk about it then, but that's the difference between rings. But in terms of tumah, so they are the same. So the Gemara questions that immediately. Is really all rings the same in terms of tumah? Vatna when they did a Mishnah, tabas adam tamei, tabas behem avikelin, nishar kol tabas taharos. We just learned something that says that rings are different, right? A person's ring is tamei, but all these other rings are tahor, not mekabel tumah. So the Saki kamar leiu nami da adam kamar lei. So really, Rabbi Elazar was telling, he's only talking about human. Person rings that you use from that people use. The Adam Davda Achasi. The Gemara says 1 second, but all rings that people use are the same halacha in terms of tumah. Fatani ulandin abraisa tabas sheit kina lachgor bo masnav. If you have a ring that you use to tighten your belt, to tighten your belt at the end of your belt, right? We all feel good with your belt. Most belts have a ring, some sort of ring type of thing at the end of it. Lukasher bo bank seifav. Or a ring that you use to tie, they used to tie their shirts up between their shoulders, being safer, right in the back, I assume, kind of just to get the sleeves out of the way. I'm not sure exactly where this was, but some sort of ring on the shirt, either to kind of roll up the sleeves and get it out of your way. So tahora, so then it is tahor. The only types of rings that a person wears is on his finger. So you see that there's a difference between a ring that a person uses, right? Depending on where he uses it, on his finger, on his shirt, his clothing, etc. Right? The rings on the fingers are tameh. Everything else is tahor. So kika amar leihu nami atzba kamar. Yeah, that's what Rabbi Elazar was talking about. He's talking about ring fingers, rings for fingers. Okay. Ude etzba dal vada achasi. But 1 second, even rings that you wear on your fingers are different. Let's say you have a ring that's metal, and the seal on it is almog. Rashi says almog is a nice, beautiful type of wood. Right? I said before that metal is mekabel tumah, wood is not. So if the ring is metal and the seal is wood, then it's tumah, then tmeah, then it can be mekabel tumah. He shall almog v'chos sama shel mateches. But if the ring is wood and the seal is metal, so then it's tahor. Then it's tahor. Then you can't be mekabel tumah. So you see, there's a difference even with rings. So ki kamar leihu nami kula shel mateches kamar. Yeah, you're right. Rabbi Elazar is saying that all the rings that are metal that go on your finger are all mekabel tumah. Okay, fine. V'od shal, there's another shayla. Shamati shecholken bein machat lamachat. I heard that there's a difference between needles. And he didn't elaborate, and he didn't say in terms of what area of halacha. So Amar Lei, Rabbi Elazar said back to him, Shema lo shamata el inyan Shabbos. You probably only heard that halacha in terms of Shabbos. The inyan tumah dav dav achasi. Because in terms of tumah, right, they are the same. That's the same thing that he said back to the other guy. Well, what's the difference between needles and Shabbos? So it depends on if it has an eye or not. Where is that Rashi? Is this here? Or maybe, yeah, right. Elinian Shabbos. Elinian Otzah Shabbos. Yesh chilik bein nekuva l'sheinu nekuva. Right? Needles. Some people have needles with eyes in them that you can stick thread through. Nekuva. Einu nekuva is just a piece of metal, right, without the eye. The nekuva katani chayv chatas. Because if it has an eye, then your chayv chatas is also midaraisa. If you go out with that on Shabbos. And v'sheinu nekuva, but if it's not nekuv, that's considered a tachshit, and you're not a chayv chatas, that's also midarabonim. So that's the difference. But in terms of tumah, all needles are the same. The Gemara says immediately, "Linyan tumah davda achasi." Are really all needles are the same? Atam we learned in the Mishnah, "Machat shenitel chora uktza." If a needle whose eye or hole has been removed, or I guess the uktz is the point, meaning not the hole. So I guess if either side of the needle has been removed, if they took it, so then it's tahora, then it's no longer considered a needle. So you see that a full needle, on the other hand, it can become tame. So yeah, you're right. So kika amar le bishlema, Rabbi Elazar was only talking about full needles. Ayu bishlema dav da achazi, but really full needles, complete needles, are all the same in terms of tumah. But now we know the Mishnah, machashel te chaluda, a needle that rusted. Im akives etvira, if it messes up the sewing, so then tahora, then it's okay. What's it called? Mess up the sewing, right? I guess if the rust, if it's so bad, if so rusted that you can't sew with it, so then it's tahor. V'ilav tameya, but if it doesn't mess up the sewing, so then it's tameh. V'amrei debei Rabbi Yane, and Rabbi Yane said, v'hu shirim so nikar. And then what do you mean messing up the sewing? That's if Shirishuma Nikar, that it, you can tell on the clothing that it was rusted, meaning that also counts as messing up the clothing, right? If you stitch a shirt with a rusted metal, or with a rusted needle, and it leaves like some brown stain on the shirt, that's obviously not what you were looking for. So the Gemara says, Kika Amarle Beshifak Amarle. So yeah, when Rabbi Elazar was talking to the students, he was saying, the Talmud, he was saying that only it's only a nice, clean needle, not one that's rusted. V'shifa nami, achasi, but really, all clean needles are also the same in terms of tumah. Fatanya learned in a braisa, machat ben akuva ben einen akuva, whether the needle has an eye or not, mutra l'tatal l'b'shabbos, you're allowed to move it on Shabbos, meaning it's not muktzah. Rashi says, well, what's the use for a needle? I forget. Right, mutzal l'tatal l'b'shabbos, but b'chatzer d'achazi l'tatal l'sakot. Yeah, because you can take out a thorn. Let's say you get a thorn in your clothing or in your skin, so you're allowed to use a needle to take out a thorn, so therefore it's not muktzah. The only distinction between a needle that has a hole and a needle that doesn't is in terms of tumah. Right? But you see, so therefore you see that even full needles, if it has an eye or it doesn't, right, there's a difference between whether it's makabel tumah or not. The ones with an eye are makabel tumah, the ones without an eye are not. So the Gemara says, finally, just to get to the Mishnah, Hatargama Abaye, Alibi Derabba de Begalmi. That Abaye said, now this is according to Rava, with an unfinished needle. Meaning, the Gemara is going to say towards the end of the Masechta that a needle that's not made yet, meaning it's not finished, is not Makabel Tumah. How does this work? What is this exactly? Rashi says, "Begalmi shu golem shenikzasa menachod." Sorry, one second. What is the pshat here? Right. If it, as long as you haven't put the eye in the needle, so it's not makabel tumah because it hasn't been completed yet. But in terms of Shabbos, it's still going to be mutter to use it. It's still going to be mutter to use it because you can still use it to get out of coats, to get out of thorn. But a complete needle that's completely, that you put the eye in, that you don't need to, or I guess a needle that you don't need to put an eye in, so that is also makabel tumah, and that's davada achasi l'tumah. That's what it means, that all completed needles are the same. I mean, that braisa that we just talked about, the last braisa that we proved to show that needles having a hole can be different, so that's not true, because according to Rava, an unfinished needle is not makabel tumah, but a needle that's finished, if it has an eye or it doesn't, is still going to be makabel tumah, as long as it's, you know, it's a complete and usable item. Okay, I think that's pshat. If it's not, I apologize, and definitely correct me and get in touch with me. But either way, Mitzvah will go weiter with the next Mishnah tomorrow. Have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.